It feels so good. Welcome to Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. I am your host, Zach. Kelsey decided to zoom in, so we're bigger on screen towers.
And I'm Kelsey. Zach's shiny forehead is the star of the show, Dara.
She's like the North Star right
now. Look at that. Like, it just stays gleaming.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, you can argue with a greasy forehead that it's just a clean forehead.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like you could be like, yeah, my skin is so dewy.
So I have liked that look, mm-hmm. but I am about to order some of those like little pads, those little oil pads.
Oh yeah, love those.
And I think I'm going to keep them in my car and stuff. And I also need to get setting powder.
Got that.
For when I do camera stuff, because mm-hmm. it's just like, I do like the glisten, the dewy, but also I wind up looking
sweaty.
Shiny. Yeah. I look greasy.
Hot tip. The Laura Mercier setting powder is kind of like,
is that $1 million?
No, but maybe it's like 40, but it's like without question, everyone's favorite.
Laura Mercier.
Yeah.
LauraMercier.
Oh my God. He can spell.
You know,
he's so talented.
Laura and Mercier don't go together. And I hope she's listening.
What would you tell her?
Like either be Laura Mercer or Laura Mercier.
You, like go either more French or more American.
Laura Mercier.
Mercier.
No.
Mercier.
That's not. I want you in a box. And I want you either an American box or a French box.
People can't be complex, okay? Except for us.
My favorite Laura is Laura Scudder because she makes my peanut butter. Laura Scudder's peanut butter.
What?
And if you know, you know.
I don't like this. Housekeeping. What's your housekeep?
I'm tired.
Bro. Brother. First of all, shout out to all the confident bottoms, the tower bottoms that came out to Zach's hour-long stand-up shows in San Francisco and Sacramento with me doing 10/12 minutes of stand-up this week. It was a goddamn dream. I had the best fucking time.
It wound up being really fun. Like,
so fun.
There's a part of me, it's so, and you'll experience this, and maybe because of your following, it won't be as treacherous, but like,
no, it will be. Are you about to say selling tickets?
Your people go, okay, we're announcing the shows this Friday. And then from that Friday for 2 months or whatever, they just keep telling you ticket updates. And it's like 13 tickets in Omaha, 21 tickets in Baltimore. And I'm like,
well, okay. There's only 13 people in Omaha. So fair, you got all of them.
Fair.
And but, how many gay? You definitely got all of them.
I know. It's just like, it's such a slog. And then like, it wound up being that I think we sold like 89 tickets in San Francisco, which I'm happy with. Last year I was drawing like 65 people.
Wow.
And then in
She's
SAC.
She's grown.
Yeah. In SAC, it was like 91 sold. And then like 40, the club at the last minute, because it's a 250 seat space.
Which is an insane amount of seats.
Will like email all of their like loyal customers like, hey, 2-for-1 or like, hey, free tickets, you know, but still drink minimum. And so it wound up being like 130 people were there.
Is that why it was so amazing?
Right.
Honestly, Sacramento, you guys fucking rocked.
Sacramento showed up. Sacramento that one way so or another. Fun. It was, you know what? I couldn't be. Thank you also to the people listening who came. I did have so much fun.
You did great. Seeing you do an hour is mind-blowing and cool. What was I going to say? Oh, my God, what was I going to say? I forgot.
The audiences,
were great.
Watching me do, you can say the watching me do an hour was incredible again if you want.
You were so incredible to watch it an hour. Also, like, I think traveling with a friend is hard. Oh, here's what I was going to say. May I pose this to your stress about selling tickets?
Oh, sure.
Imagine that you would sell out every single time.
Yeah.
And then having to be on the leg of your career where you're not selling what you used to.
Bitch, I haven't gotten to the selling out
part
yet.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, you're still on the rise.
Or in theory, I will never hit the sell out.
You have the chance to do such a thing. And, like, I think it's better that you're still on the rise. Because once you hit that, like, you're selling out stadiums, and then you run that for how many times you run that for, and then you're coming off of it. Imagine being like, wait, I can't sell out a 200-person theater.
Oh, okay. So that would be, and that is like that. That is the arc, I think, of almost everything. I'm trying to think of something where you keep getting bigger and bigger, and you really don't. People like Dane Cook sold out Madison Square Garden, but now I don't think he's selling out Madison Square Garden.
I think he's dating scary underage women.
I think he married a girl.
He did. Her name was Kelsey.
Like, she's like 24 now, but he's like, we've been dating for 8 years.
Yeah, and you're like, wait, don't say that in public. Also, he's kind of a piece of shit.
I just have friends at every level in this career, and they all stress about ticket sales. It's all they do. And then they'll sell out their theater, and their people will go, let's add a second show that night.
No.
And then they go, okay, back to the stress. Because then all of a sudden it's like one sold out show, one is a fourth full.
Bro, when we were doing the podcast tour, New York, Philly, like, when I was at BuzzFeed, we sold out 200 seats within an hour. We, like, filled out the space. And so when we were, like, struggling to sell tickets, I was like, oh, no, I'm on that other side of the hill where I can't do what I used to.
Well, but, like, you just said it yourself, BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed, it was huge. Insane. It's nothing. All of you together made BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
And then you all went.
Yeah.
Bloop.
It's just hard not to compare to like the successes of the career you've had in a way that like I constantly fear that will have been the greatest stuff I'd ever done.
Oh, that's right. You were mentioning this as like fodder
for stand up. Yeah. Where you're like, oh no, that's the best and most impactful like life I leave behind. I just can't imagine that will be true.
Is there anything? So you truly can't name anything that you're more proud of since BuzzFeed?
Oh, of course I can. Almost nearly everything I've done since I've left. But that doesn't mean it came at the monetary success that it did at BuzzFeed.
Okay, well, maybe that's more of a lesson then. That,
fuck
like,
you.
Money is not a signifier of success.
I will say I was the happiest I've been in a minute being on the road with you this week. That was such a hoot.
Oh, my God, yeah. Being on the road is such a unique experience. Mm-hmm. And again, you'll experience this too. Oftentimes you're by yourself.
Yeah.
And it's just like a lot of like, you realize you didn't talk to anyone all day. So then you get, well, not you. You probably talk to fucking TV characters when they're on. But
I can't not participate in society.
But like, you'll get to a show and like the first time you talk to a person is like the club manager.
Oh,
and you're
my
like,
God.
Wow. It's like 7:55 p.m. and I haven't talked to anyone. It's just interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited to go through this part of like relearning how to get good at something again, like the stand up. Like I told you this already, but how fun it was to like test my stuff out on you and you giving me these amazing feedback and notes. I'm like, oh my God, I kind of love sucking at something right now because it's
the
fun
thing is
to learn.
Suck at it, though. That's the other, I understand what you're saying though. Like it's fun to be
new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the beginner's table, but like, yeah.
Yeah. And the whole reason why I brought this like, oh my God, up was because Zachary had an offer to come back to LA and shoot something really cool in the morning. We were in Sacramento. This is about a 7-hour drive on a bad day.
Yeah.
Five and a half on a good.
From Sacramento, I think it's, a solid 5:45, honestly.
To get back to LA. And our shows ended at like 9:30.
On Wednesday night.
And he had to be back in LA at, let's say, 10 the next morning.
Well, I picked my friend up at 9:45.
Fuck me. So we were like, we either wake up at 2 in the morning and drive back.
And like hit LA traffic at like 8 a.m.
working time. Or we leave at 10 p.m. and
right
Zach
after the show
drives through the night. I curl up in a ball of sleep while you. And here's the thing. I told Henrik this. Let me be very clear when I say this. Whatever you needed to do to be able to stay up, to get us there safely and make your thing, I was like, whatever you got to do, you got to do. I knew you were going to like pound some Red Bulls. And I was like, however I can support, like whatever podcast music you got to listen to. Zachary puts on a podcast where the first thing that they're doing, I'm trying to curl up to go to sleep because it's like 11:30. It's time for mama to go to bed. They are imitating dolphins being sexually assaulted on their podcast.
I think it was dolphins sexually assaulting.
And so literally
they
it was
dolphins.
And they were like, what about their brother, the whale? And for some reason, they talked this close to their microphone instead of like a normal.
Well, it was recorded in like 2013.
Let me just say, I was trying to fall asleep. And I'm like, no, whatever he needs to listen to
you
stay up.
I'm just going to say right now, you're not the victim in this story.
No. You are the victim. But the music you chose, it was almost like if someone was
It was a podcast.
Yeah, let me put on like you know, like a dog shitting for 6 hours.
Okay, but Kelsey's literal last words before she went silent,
I said
were,
this.
You can put on what-
whatever.
And she went, I'm easy.
She was like,
you can put on whatever.
I said, I'm going to pass out. I don't have to do anything. I just have to arrive.
Yeah.
And then I put my chair back and all I hear is-
Okay, and for the record, that was like maybe like a 1.5 minute bit, but it was not like the whole thing.
It was just so funny because I was like sitting there. You're like, I'm not going to say anything, obviously.
Yeah,
but I was laughing so internally. I put my jacket over my head because I was peeing my pants inside. And at one point I put on my headphones because I was like, I will stay up and listen to this funny comedy podcast.
Sure. Did you put on like white noise or something? Mm-hmm. Or yeah,
I put on
some good stuff.
Sounds of Sleep.
Oh.
Exactly. And let me be clear. This Sounds of Sleep promised that I would be asleep within 3 minutes. That's how it's like guaranteed sleeping in 3 minutes. I fell asleep, girl.
Really?
I fell asleep.
Do you get those ads next to porn? They're like, you're going to come in under 60 seconds. I'm always like curious because I'm like, what does it do? Is it like the ring? Like, is it going to like actually make me calm?
That's a really good question.
Because I've never clicked on it.
It is like a you've never clicked on it.
I do not navigate away from
the
my
designed.
Search. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all things, a clickbait article site saying you're gonna come in 60 seconds or less,
guaranteed sex.
No way. That would be a good scary movie, though. Like someone who clicks on one of those things and it winds up being like
you always
crazy.
Have, other side note, it's just been the week of Zach in my mind. I read Zach's script that is being made and
they're
shopped.
Trying. They've been trying. For
it's
six
a horror
years.
Film, and I was so afraid that I was going to have to lie to you, like, because I've never read your writing before.
Yeah.
And when I wrote it, I was just like, let's fucking go. It was funny. It was scary. I told you at one point, because I couldn't sleep, I was laying on my couch, and I got scared reading your script.
Oh, that's so... A couple of, like, intern people have said that in meetings. I, like, something, like, a sound made happened in my house, and I got really scared.
Yeah, and so I, like, got up, and I was like, okay, on the count of three, you're just going to get up. Don't look at anything. Just go straight upstairs to your room, because then I was fine.
That's so
But it's
funny.
Just been a good week of Zach.
Yeah!
And isn't like your birthday coming up or something?
It is on the 18th.
What are we doing? Oh my god, was that a burp?
No, it was like a gurgle.
You kind of sucked in also. That was
I know.
So weird.
I thought I was going to do the one. Like,
I really feel like you should get checked out, but.
I refuse. I don't want to go to a doctor any more than I have to.
Fucking amen, sister.
You go to the doctor enough for both of us.
I do. I go just for funsies.
Actually, next time you go, be like, what if I didn't burp?
What if I
is
never
that weird?
Burped? Yeah, I know. I'm going to pretend like it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see what they say.
My birthday, I think my friend is going to open up the movie theater she works at for us to watch Smile 2 on the night of the 17th. So that's a Thursday.
Am I invited?
Yeah,
because I want to go to that.
But like, can you handle it?
Yeah, bitch, I watched the one.
Okay,
I watched the
okay.
first one and I liked it.
And then I think maybe Cinespia on Saturday is the movie Trick or Treat, mm-mm. which is an it's much easier to watch than Smile.
Mm-hmm. Zach Kornfeld told us about this one. He's trying to get us to watch it for guilty pleasures.
Oh, you should. It's well, actually pitch to them that you guys go see it at Cinespia on the 19th. It's so fun. Anna Paquin's in it. And Leslie Bibb.
Isn't it an old school one?
I mean, it's probably from the early 2000s.
For some reason, like, old school movies also scare me almost near more.
No, it's anthology horror. There's like five short stories that kind of they're interwoven.
Okay. Whatever.
Anyway, yeah, that. And then on my actual birthday, I don't know. I think I'm going to keep it very open-ended to see like what falls into place.
I didn't do anything this year for mine. So if you want to do something, give me a heads up.
Was I out of town for your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, also Amy Scott. Shout out Amy.
Amy.
She's going to be in town for my
birthday.
Fine.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
I have a housekeeping for the audience. Last week we talked about let go, the process of let them.
Oh, yes.
Mel Robbins. And we asked the audience, do you feel like you have a hard time letting go of basic inconveniences in life? And 75% of people said, I got a death grip.
On basic, what did we list as basic conveniences?
We
like
didn't
Starbucks?
List anything.
What?
What is Starbucks doing? That's convenient. Do you feel like you have a hard time letting go of basic inconveniences in life?
Oh, I heard conveniences. I was like,
don't make me give up my Starbucks.
Basic inconveniences. Oh, yeah. We all stew. Yeah. We like ruminate.
Yeah. So then we ask, what mental practices do you use to let go when you know something no longer serves you? Some of the best answers that wrote in were journaling. I only talk about work during work or counseling. Got to be getting paid or paying someone to talk about it. I liked that. Sit with the feelings, realize where they're coming from, redirect negativity. These phrases, I was fine before I had it, and I'll be fine in the future without it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Someone said, well, fuck it, what's next? Feel the pain, cry it out, and meditate. Notice negative feelings and focus on positive ones. And someone wrote, I don't know, but please, for the love of God, share the results. I need help, LMAO.
That's so funny. Here are two more. In my program of recovery, we have HALT. And that's where you're feeling
angry,
lonely, tired. Yep. Okay, HATLA.
I wrote it in on my book, too.
Yeah, so HALT is great. And then also, what was the
name? It's Friday, babes. You ain't got no brain juice.
It was like... plot twist.
What's that?
You say plot twist when something doesn't go your way.
Plot twist. That's cute.
And like that takes the sting out of it. Yeah. Also, I'm telling you, I'm getting so much better at this as not receiving news, neither good nor bad.
Just receiving.
Just receiving news.
Yeah.
Like, okay. But not assigning it good or bad. Mm-hmm. And if you start to build a negative story around it, then you redirect your thoughts. You go, oh, nope, I'm building a story. There's better uses of my time. Let's focus on what I can do right now.
Also, like, when something doesn't go your way, like what you said, building a story around it, right? Like, we got a pass from Netflix on my documentary this past week. And I found myself going back to, like pieces of things I said in the pitch or like conversation posts.
Replaying
or like
it?
Yes. And like imagine, like literally my brain morphed into the room at Netflix and was like hearing them talk about it without me there, of like discussing it and being like, here's what I didn't like about it. Here's what's not good about it. And I was like, why?
Why?
I'm so creative.
Yeah,
I'm
why?
So imaginative.
That you're building this beautiful short film about
it's a short
your
film.
Rejection.
Yes. God. And I was like, what am I doing? And honestly, I have had more no's than yeses in this entertainment business.
Everyone.
Yeah.
If you have more yeses than no's, you're a nepotism baby.
Ooh, that's straight facts, baby.
Period.
And it's just, I did the let them bury. Just let them not want
this
it.
This is also where I'm getting so much, I'm so hungry to just make stuff and put it out. I'm so sick of getting notes from people.
Bro, I realized I'm not a teacher. I'm a doer.
Yeah.
I don't want to teach anyone how to do something. I just want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Anyway, when we come back, I'm excited to tell and talk about something that inspired me this week, which is the perfect movie television boyfriend and why our standards are so low.
Hey everyone, if you've got allergies, this is for you. Imagine a life without sneezing, itchy eyes, or avoiding your friend's house because they have a kitty cat.
Hey, we have cats.
I know. Thanks to Curex, allergies are no longer something you have to just deal with. They're optional.
Tell me more!
Over 100 million Americans suffer from allergies, and they're not just an inconvenience. Allergies are the number one reason people miss work.
Seriously, Zach, I have had so many freaking sinus infections due to allergies, and that is 100% why I have missed work and canceled on you for this podcast. So tell me more.
It's a family issue.
It's affecting our friendship.
Here's the good news. Allergies can be treated effectively, and you can make allergic reactions a thing of the past. All it takes is a couple of allergy drops every day, and in just 3 to 6 months, you could start feeling real relief. It's easier than brushing your teeth, which you should also start doing.
Thank you.
These allergy drops are trusted by doctors and backed by science. Ooh. Ever heard of it? With hundreds of studies from top institutions like Harvard Medical School.
Oh my God.
And the Mayo Clinic. Not mayonnaise, Mayo. In fact, in Europe, they're the go-to treatment for allergies.
We love Europeans.
You can treat allergies to pollen, dust mites, mold, and even cats and dogs. Curex is the largest online allergy clinic, and they've already changed thousands of lives. The reviews are incredible. So If you're serious about kicking those allergies to the curb, which I know you are, check out Curex. Treatment starts as low as $59 a month. Ooh. And if you sign up now, Curex is currently running a promotion and you can save 80% off the $49 sign up fee. Go to getcurex.com. That's GETCUREX.com. Don't let allergies control your life. Take control with Curex. Go to getcurex.com. That's GETCUREX.com.
Confident bottoms, it is that time of month again for me, but I do not need to suffer from cravings, bloating, PMS, because I am taking Hormone Harmony, right? Okay, if you feel a little bit down or off or struggle to find comfort in your body, maybe you experience bad sleep quality, you need to support your hormonal balance and regulation, which is why I started taking Hormone Harmony. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. So here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that just happen naturally throughout a woman's life. But Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause or perimenopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold too. If you suffer from hot flashes or night sweats, racing thoughts, or low moods, yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Kelsey at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Kelsey for 15% off today. Zachary, I binged. I binged watch. Nobody wants this.
Yeah, all it's Kristen Bell and Adam Brody.
Yes. And I feel like I didn't see any fucking marketing for this. It just popped up in my TikTok feed. Everyone and their moms watched it. Everyone and their mom's obsessed with it. It's on Netflix. It's rom-com-y. I didn't know anything about it. While we were on the road, Mr. Athlete went upon himself and watched the fucking series without me.
Whoa, that good, huh?
He loves rom-coms. Isn't that cute? I know. And
have y'all watched French Kiss?
No.
Meg Ryan, Kevin Kline?
No.
It's my favorite rom-com of all time.
Really? I never even heard of it.
It's incredible.
Okay, I'll put it on the list. And he texted me, I think someone made a show about your life without your consent. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, podcaster, talks about sex, loud, independent woman in Los Angeles.
A single forever.
No. And I was like, how dare you? Is this you breaking up with me? And I looked up. It's Aaron Foster. It's Aaron Foster.
What else has Aaron Foster?
Has been.
It's a girl.
Yes. And she was Aaron Foster. Her and her sister were reality stars.
Whoa. What a pivot.
She was a writer on the NBC com, The New Normal. With her sister Sarah Foster, she created the TV series Barely Famous on VH1. Hmm. It is a mockumentary satire of reality TV. Oh. And the first aired in 2015.
Wait, they were contestants or like personalities on a reality show?
I think.
And then they got to start pitching scripted shit?
Barely Famous. I forget like whose daughter they are.
I wish them nothing but the best, but also I'm seething.
They're kids of a famous model and a famous record producer. So they come from Monet.
And they might be related to Bananas Foster.
And they're the creative.
I was like, how dare you not acknowledge that?
It was so dumb. I should have just kept plowing through that. They are also the creative heads for the dating app Bumble.
What?
Isn't that funny?
Wait. This doesn't, honestly, this feels like a glitch. This feels made up. This feels.
I know.
They
are. And she's like incredibly hot.
The children of a model.
Uh huh. And a big record producer.
They created Bumble.
No, they're the head of creative direction or marketing or whatever the fuck I said.
Okay.
And then the other sister was Jen Clark on 90210.
The new one?
90210
had a reboot in the past 10 years. But it was on when I was a kid and I wasn't allowed to watch it. But I did, Mom. I did watch it.
She was also, she starred as herself on the HBO series Entourage. So, like, I'm pretty sure they are...
How old are these people?
40, and they're fucking smoking hot. They're but also, hot.
They were on Entourage as themselves?
So, I think they're
were they
socialites.
Were children in Entourage?
They were socialites.
Okay, if you're a socialite, stop making
taking
content.
Our jobs.
Yeah. If you are a socialite, be social and light.
Don't have depth.
Don't have pitch meetings where you sell stuff.
Especially about my life.
And you know what? I'm done. This is my camera. I promise if and when I'm making like millions or I have millions in the bank, I'm going to take my foot off the gas. I promise.
Really?
I'm going to let some young faga.
Oh, you're going to bring up your faga.
Or just like let them get in.
Let them.
I'm so tired of seeing celebrities on Chase commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Chase commercials are for just regular people who want to go into credit card debt. Not Kevin Hart.
Get out of our national commercial check.
It's crazy.
Bro,
what,
you know what it is.
What more do you need?
It's those fucking celebs saw what national commercials pay when they get fucking...
But that's what I'm talking about.
Bro.
If you've sold out Madison Square Garden more than one time,
you don't get to do
a national commercial.
No, but you love money.
It's that thing, though, like that greed that
it's
exists.
Never enough.
Like, it's so...
Never enough. Don't cry. We had a great week. Okay, so week of Zachary in my house.
Okay.
So back this woman,
Foster.
I think her and her sister did have a podcast about dating and sex in LA. Mm. So I'm sure it was a really popular podcast. And they were like, we should make this a show. And they were like, okay.
Okay.
So Kristen Bell, Adam Brody. Anyway, 10 episodes, but they're quick in like half hours. And it takes place in LA. I swear to God, you're going to watch this and be like, bitch, this is you. Like, this is your personality.
Someone tweeted or threaded classic LA show for actors in their 40s playing people in their 30s
20s.
Acting like people in their 20s.
Amen. And anyway, all the internet is a buzz about the main male character Noah Rokhlov, which is the internet's new obsession. So Noah is played by Adam Brody, like you said, or as the girlies call him, Seth Cohen forever for life from the OC. And they're saying it's like if Seth Cohen, like, you know, the OC ended when he was going to college. And then it's like this is him in his late 30s or whatever. Because Seth Cohen, the character, was just so iconic, loved, adorkable, I think is where that came from. Sure. And it had me thinking, like, what are the most iconic boyfriend lovers in shows and why stereotypically are we so in love with them?
Okay.
And this idea also spawned, I think I told you this off of TikTok taught me that like the reason why girls are so obsessed with smut and like fairy novels and like vampires like fucking you till you break a curse or something is because the men in the books simply pay attention to women.
Oh.
It's like they respect them.
Well, that's why y'all fall in love with gay guys.
Well, why do you think I like you?
We are great listeners who happen to have penises.
Yeah, and we feel like we're getting something out of it from men.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting... You're being validated.
By a man?
A man? Question mark.
But that fucking blew my mind because it was like, all these men are hating on these girls who are like reading all this smut and are like... Oh, you're so obsessed with like fantasy and blah, blah, blah. These unrealistic debt. And it's like, nope, it's very attainable. You guys could all be like these guys in the books that we're obsessed with.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. Like the bare minimum, our bar is so fucking low. We're like, have decent sex with us, maybe bite our neck in the woods every now and then, and respect us as a human on your same level.
We're entering the subject of toxic masculinity, and it's like, it's such a big.
Well, I think that covers a lot of, like, the people I researched into of, like, favorites. So let's talk about, like, why Noah is – what the girls on the talk are saying about why Noah is so great. Noah's charm isn't in your face, so he's not, like, a showboat.
Sure.
He's, like, a guy you run into at a coffee shop and end up having this, like, unexpectedly deep conversation with.
Listen, humility will always be one of the most attractive like, let me find out you are a nice guy. Don't say it on your profile. Let me find out you are talented. Don't say it on your profile. Let me find out that you do good things for people without saying it on your profile. Just let me find out.
Bro, the first time I saw athlete play his sport.
You were like, oh.
My panties.
Shit.
across the room.
Shit.
They also love Noah because he's written to be, you know, the modern feminist dream boyfriend. So whether it's standing up for his partner's career choices or making sure her voice is heard, he's the guy who claps the loudest at her successes.
Why is it called Nobody Wants This?
That's the name of their podcast, which is their single.
Wait, it's a guy and a girl who have a podcast?
No, it's two sisters.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, like based on that.
Is Adam Brody a Jewish mm-hmm. faith person?
Mm-hmm. A what Jewish faith, a rabbi?
Hey, I think you couldn't think of it either for a
second.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
No, it's a rabbi. He has the perfect balance of vulnerability and stability. So he's not really the strong and silent type, but he's also not afraid to be emotional in some way. But he does it in a way that doesn't feel burdensome. It's more like, wow, he's in touch with his feelings and knows how to talk about them.
So wait, then what's his flaw in the show?
I don't want to say it without ruining the show for people who haven't watched.
He's gay. He's Imagine. A ghost.
He's a ghost. You got it. He's uncomplicated but complex. He doesn't have that thing that's saying, like, I need to be fixed. You know, he has his shit together. Everyone's talking about his aesthetic, like the way he dresses, the way he looks. He's kind of like that boy next door, but like a hint of edge that's like, I have a motorcycle, but I also have a library card.
Cute. And hopefully a regular car.
You know, I saw his car in one shot and I was like, what is it? What is it? Is it a Lexus? It's very
Prius.
Like unnamed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Generic.
So I looked into some of the most famous, beloved TV boyfriends / movie boyfriends.
Is Big on it?
Big is fucking not on it. And it, you should. Are you kidding me?
People love Big.
Nobody loves Big.
Yeah, they do.
I loved Big.
Then why didn't we all stand up and cheer when he died of a heart attack? Spoiler alert. Don't watch it.
They did.
No.
People were thrilled.
We weren't meant to.
Because we loved Carrie and she was happy.
Carrie was devastated.
It was always the one who got away for her. So all of us wanted to see her win. And also we forget that show is written by a gay man.
So Aiden?
People love it. I didn't like Aiden. I did like Big, but people do not like Big. But if you had to guess who number one is, who would you guess?
Fred Flintstone.
Because of those feet?
Wait, give me, McDreamy?
No. McDreamy had his problems, too. He couldn't commit.
Peter Griffin.
You're so close.
Wait, really?
Jim Halpert from The Office.
Oh, God, of course.
And I labeled this as just your classic white guy. He's the ultimate nice guy. He's sweet. He's funny. That time he got that teapot gift to Pam, gathering all the trinkets. White people loved him. They just adored Jim because he's more than just romantic. He's also your best friend.
You know, it's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
That he also got so hot after The Office.
I forget they're the same guy.
So hot.
He got Emily Blunt, bitch.
Like the dad in A Quiet Place, smoke show. Could you imagine
he's doing that place.
You and he's covering your mouth?
Oh, I'm so
and it's
jealous.
Like literally like you're about to make me calm so hard we're gonna die.
Gladly.
Yeah,
honestly, take me. Next I put this type is the reformed guy. So we hated him in the beginning and we ended up loving him.
Okay.
Lawrence Walker from Insecure.
Oh,
Issa Rae's. So he is the ultimate comeback boyfriend. He started as like the lazy guy with no drive, but when he lost the girl, when he lost
it
the one,
kicked him into high gear.
That's what we all want. We all love a guy who's like, I'm never gonna let that happen
again.
Yes. They also love him because he went from underachieving to someone who worked him on himself deeply. He also learned how to apologize. Bar solo, y'all. Communicate and show up emotionally as well as physically made him a top contender for the perfect modern boyfriend.
Okay.
Okay, this one's kind of a little twist. Like I said, we had number one was the classic white guy, nice guy. Then we had the reformed guy. This is the bisexual vampire. Eric Northman from True Blood. Bitches fucking went feral for him.
Wait. Is that the main guy?
No, it's Skarsgård.
He was bisexual?
Yes!
How did I miss that plot line?
His relationships were super and big.
That he just had always had, like, naked people, like, around him.
And he was,
him.
Like, doing male threesomes. He's confident.
What's a male threesome, Kelly? Oh!
Did y'all fucking... I spent 20 minutes at the top of this podcast talking about how great this man is.
And I think both you and Kelsey are great.
Who is Kelly? Do you know a Kelly?
I hope not.
You don't know a Kelly. That's why I'm worried.
No, that was a simple like speech impediment moment.
Sure.
You know you have isolated. I do, at least.
I'm never going to call you a different name. What if I ever called you a different name?
Oh, well, no, but I just dropped a letter from yours.
You dropped like three, first of all. Kelly, you added another Kelsey? One.
Kelly yeah. and Kelsey are the exact same name.
You added an L. S.
Kelsey.
Has one L.
But you don't
I'm not going to argue with you on how to spell my name.
But phonetically, there's one L.
I think you're I'm just trying to do anything you can.
I'm not like Kelly. Kelly.
Just to get out Kelly. Of you calling your best friend the wrong name. That's whose name you're not calling out
my
in bed.
My best friend is your gynecologist.
I fucking hate you. Okay, back to Eric. He is powerful. He is confident. Deeply compelling, but he's not afraid to show a softer side when it comes to loyalty and
love. Did AI
love.
Make this list?
No. I did. Does it sound like it?
Oh, I don't know. He's such a pull. He has a weird pull. We're really naming vampires.
Well, I was trying to go with like the fantasy, like why girlies are obsessed with like the super normal, paranormal people too. But he was so sensual.
Wait, then why wouldn't it be Bill? He wouldn't do anything for Sookie.
Bill was kind of territorial. I mean, they all were. They were like rabid dogs.
Yeah.
But Bill, he always struck me as like a little bit like daddy.
He did seem like he might vote Republican.
Exactly. Like he has the accent and the voting status.
And the crow's feet, if I'm being honest.
They were deep.
He was a man.
This one, you can't argue with it. And originally I went like the tortured guy, but then I realized what it really is in media. It's
Jack Skellington.
The poor guy.
What's that?
It's the guy who comes from nothing. That, like, gets to be with the rich girl.
The underdog guy?
Yeah, but let's be real. It's that he's in a different tax bracket. And we're all like,
Aladdin.
Like Aladdin. I put Noah Calhoun from The Notebook.
Isn't that most guys in things?
Isn't it? He wrote her a love letter every day for a year.
I want to say something else. I've never seen The Notebook. And it's too late for me to care. Yeah, bye. I hope you don't get dementia.
What do you mean?
I haven't seen it, and I don't care to.
What do you mean?
Unlike your athletic boyfriend, I don't care about romance.
What do you mean?
That movie's just a bunch of whiny white people falling in love, standing in the rain. I choose you. It's us. Oh, my God, it's us.
What?
Nobody...
Zach. Do you even understand? You don't even fucking know. You don't even get this shit on it because you don't even fucking know the twists and turns in this film.
It's the story of us.
No, bitch. There's so much more.
Yeah, they're in bed and she has dementia and she's like, wait, it's us. And then she disappears again. And then he breaks her neck.
You're
and says, I'll
breaking
see you,
my heart
I'll see you
today.
In heaven.
First Kelly,
bitch.
Then this. You got one more. It's the rules of three. So fucking save it. You better get ready. You better drum some
Wait,
shit up.
How do they regenerate every time I like leave?
No, just like you get three today.
Oh, yeah. So once I leave,
yeah,
then I get my three strikes back.
Yes, you get them back. Okay. People loved Noah, like I said, because of his undying love and devotion, blah, blah, blah. He was persistent. That motherfucker.
Are we back to Adam Brody?
No, we're back to Noah Calhoun in The Notebook.
He was
persistent. And that's the thing about the poor guy trope. Is they're like...
Yeah, because they have time. Because they don't have a job.
Because they don't have money.
This is the thing, though. It only works because it's Ryan Gosling.
He built her a house with his bare hands.
Do you know how scary that would be if it was a fucking skinny, like, scary guy?
Who did you say? Jack Skellington?
Yeah, I know. Now I have that
You'd
in
be
my
like,
head.
This is a stalker.
This is... crazy.
Not a hot boyfriend. I was coming up with jokes about being a woman on the internet earlier, and I said that. I was like, the thing that sucks about being on the internet is sometimes you get stalkers and they're hot, and you're like, maybe I would.
I want to be. Is this just Jack Calhoun?
Yeah. But he built her a house with his bare fucking hands, and I don't know what else. Like,
it's probably not a good house. It'd probably fall apart real easy.
I think you're just so used to my DIYs.
You can't build a house by yourself, also.
It took him years.
No, no, no. That's just how it works. You need like two. You need another set of hands.
He lived in a shed on a boat in a fucking rowboat building her a house.
Listen, if there are other alpha men listening to this.
Other as in besides you? Me, got it.
Let me know if you can build a house by yourself.
Yeah, let us know in the comments how long it would take you.
You can't.
The athlete told me today that he built a shed in his backyard as a kid.
Barely believe that.
I got mad that he hasn't built me one. I got mad.
The last thing you need is more storage.
No, that's why I need it.
No, 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 no. Okay. Because then you'll find stuff to put in it.
I have stuff to put in it. I have too much
anything,
stuff.
We should take a room away from you every like 6 months. No,
so I end up on the streets?
No, we'll leave you one room.
Okay.
We'll leave you a shed.
That he built.
That you live in.
This one I Googled like who all the Gen Zers love. And this one told me Peter Kavinsky from To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
I don't know that IP.
But I wrote down that this is like the high school archetype. So this is the guy that like is the jock but wants to be a poet.
Oh.
He can't tell any of his fucking friends that he wants to date you because you're a loser.
Oh.
He takes their glasses off and is like,
yeah,
you're beautiful.
He's like, you actually have value.
Yeah. He had a big rise to stardom on Netflix because he offered the new generation the boyfriend they'd been waiting for. And he's also a guy who puts his hand in his pockets a lot. Like
guys do that to adjust themselves.
But
they
his made him look in. Like he's like, I don't know.
No, he was moving his balls around.
Way to break the fucking...
He probably had a boner and he had to like flip it up.
You're really breaking the illusion for me.
It's not for me.
There's something about a confident guy putting his hands in his pockets and like pulling his shoulders up to be like, I don't know, you just made me nervous.
To be like, I'm a little, I don't know, I don't like that.
I like it. I like making men nervous.
Is he also standing like a pigeon-toed?
Probably.
Yucky. Yucky.
There's a really good episode on Nobody Wants This where it's called The Ick, and they do a whole episode about like this guy who's perfect giving her the ick, like the three things that he does. And what it is he puts on a sport coat while he's wearing basketball shorts and a hoodie.
Okay.
That's the first one.
I'm not icked.
I was icked. The second one was like his mom's like, oh, I found like an empty jar, an empty Prego jar. We can put the flowers in. And he goes, ha ha, Prego. And she's like,
wait. Can I ask, do you have to watch these in order? Or are they just like, okay.
And then I forget that. I think the third one is something like his hands are too big. And I was like, bitch, that's not.
But then are the episodes broken down by subjects on their pod?
No.
Because you just said they do one on the ick. So like what's.
They do an episode. The episode on TV that they decided to call it was called The Ick.
Oh.
Yeah, you were looking way too into it.
Into what?
Into the the industry.
Well.
And the last one that I put in, the stereotype, which is just the goof. The goof, Nick Miller, New Girl.
Also, what's Jason Segel in Bad Teacher?
That was specific.
Well, he's like definitively a goof. And he's also persistent.
Forgetting Sarah
and he
Marshall.
Keeps coming at her.
Yeah.
Oh, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That's a weird character because he's like broken and sad and stalkery.
Goof is like the lovable imperfections, a little bit messy, relatable. He's not trying to be perfect. He's flawed, so he doesn't care that you're flawed.
He's making fun of the hot, charming guy.
Yeah.
It's Wedding Singer.
I haven't seen it.
That's fucking pathetic. Kelly.
Fuck you. I asked you for gay recommendations and you gave me none.
We don't get characters like you guys do.
Really?
Not really.
I thought there was
one. Like, up until like 3 years ago, we've been hairdressers and like bitches.
That's true.
Like, so yeah, no, not the guy, not the bend and snap guy from Legally Blonde. He's not like our dreamboat.
Yeah, you gave me like the name of an actor. And I was like, wait, this guy just,
so Luke
he's
McFarlane
the only
plays,
one.
So in Bros, he's the bro that what's his face falls in love with.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we haven't been given that much space. I mean, Will from, no, but Will and Grace was like.
Because it's like, wait, who's the boyfriend in it? You know, like who?
Yeah, there's no like, oh,
guys,
he's so great. He just keeps showing up for him.
Yeah. If there's a gay or queer character that you deem the perfect boyfriend for queers? Let us know in the comments.
Watch, I probably missed like 42 of them, but like I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Oh.
Wait, Google it.
There it is.
Great.
Zachary, you got anything to promote? Bitch?
Oh my god, I do. I will be headlining City Winery in Atlanta on October 10th.
Atlanta.
I'll be on the road opening for Bob the Drag Queen October 23rd.
Bob the Drag Queen.
November 3rd.
November.
And then I will be at Kansas City on November 12th, Omaha on November 13th, and then St. Louis, Missouri on the 16th. No, 13th, 14th for the first two.
I don't know how you remember all this.
Go to ZachNuiTowers.com and please come see me in Kansas City or Omaha.
Because we only have 13 gays there and they're all going.
Yeah.
I have a show in Los Angeles on the West Side Comedy Theater October 20th for Corey and friends. I'm one of the friends. Get a ticket now online, West Side Comedy Theater.
That's so exciting.
Is that it?
One of my favorite spaces to perform in.
Really now? Yep. You should come. You're probably out of town. What am I talking about? It's not a Sunday night.
There.
Okay. We love you, Confidants, Confident Bottoms. We'll see you next week. Bye. Bye.
I have faith that it was still.